We live, we love, we serve. They told me what to preach next service. I'm going to tell you right now. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. Here's the word of God. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place." Amen. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you, oh God, on today. Because this day, Resurrection Sunday, is our celebration, oh God. That no matter how bleak things may be, it ain't over until you move, oh God. So God, we thank you today for the many ways you've moved in our lives. The truth is, oh God, we can't recount them all because you've been so faithful, you've been so good, you've been so consistent that our responsibility is to be grateful for how you've been moving in our lives. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Because somebody needed to know this morning that no matter how down you are, getting up is always a possibility. So God, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. And we ask, oh God, that you would have your way in our lives on today. This is our prayer. In your name we pray. And we say, oh God, amen. Amen. You know, let me read all of that again. Luke 24, 13 through 21. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but the eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place." Amen. Do me a favor, just simply tell your neighbor this morning, neighbor, don't let go of hope. Come on, tell somebody else, neighbor, don't let go of hope. Now put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Don't let go of hope this morning. We cannot fully appropriate or understand the depth of despair that many of those persons who had placed their hope in Jesus could have felt. It is hard to comprehend, well, maybe not so hard, especially those of us who are familiar with despair and disappointment, how despair and disappointment can creep in ways unexpectedly and can capsize your belief in what is possible. Here in this scene on the road to Emmaus, we get a glimpse of two, not of the inner circle disciples, but clearly two of the followers of Jesus who are wrestling with ruined possibility and dashed hopes. Sometimes when you experience the shattering of your dreams or the dashing of your hopes, it is easy to sink into a place where you stop believing in anything being possible at all. The truth is, the reason why sometimes we get frustrated and we feel disappointed and our disappointment is deepened when certain things happen is if we have a history of dealing with disappointment, if we have a history of wrestling with personal struggle, if we have a history of dealing with trauma and defeat, sometimes all it takes is one more letdown to now cause all those past memories of letdown to rise to the surface. Has anybody here ever experienced that in your life? Where you had hope for something to happen, and when that thing didn't happen, it not only caused despair and disappointment because of that thing, but it had a way of resurrecting all these other ideas of what could go wrong, or the things that have gone wrong before in the past. I know I've been there before. I know I've been there before, because it's amazing. Even when you think you've gotten over certain things that have wounded your spirit and, again, capsized your hope, all it takes sometimes is for one more thing to happen. One more thing to go wrong, and suddenly your whole spirit, your emotions all shift, and you stop believing that anything good can happen for you. If you've been there, you also know how important it is, or rather how difficult it is, to try to redeem those feelings of optimism in the midst of the capsizing of your hope and the dashing of your dreams, because it is hard at times to just hold on to hope. Again, holding on to hope is connected in many ways to past disappointment. And also holding on to hope, or not holding on to hope, is also connected to not just past disappointment, but how we sometimes bring that past disappointment into our present circumstance. And pretty soon the optimism that once existed for what could happen now turns into pessimism for all possibilities. And then when that begins to set in your spirit, you are not just the person who has pessimistic point moments, but you become a pessimistic person. And pretty soon, every time someone comes to talk to you, you don't lead with optimism, you lead with pessimism. You begin to think of all the negative things, the negative outcomes, the negative possibilities, and pretty soon that negativity shapes not only the way you see everything, but it clouds your judgment on how you begin to think of the world around you. So here's what I want to let you know today, this morning on Resurrection Sunday, before you leave today, is that the reason why, well, some of the reasons why you got to hold on to hope is because it is still important to have the belief in your spirit that somehow good things will happen. It ain't really rocket science this morning. It is still good to believe in your heart that good things can still happen, even though you may have experienced more times than you would like disappointment, letdown, and the dashing of your hopes. I'm gonna say it again. It is good to have a positive outlook on the possibilities in your life, no matter how much disappointment you have experienced. Because when you begin to surrender to disappointment and you become the enemy of your own possibility, then something wrong begins to happen in your spirit. You have to maintain the positive outlook so that you can also believe that transformation is possible. Is anybody here this morning who can testify to that? Who knows why it has been important in life to hold on to that which is important, to hold on to that which is essential to who you are? Look at somebody and tell them, don't let go of hope. Don't let go of hope. These men were filled with disappointment. These men had gotten to a point in their life and their journey where you can read it and almost feel it and see it, where they started believing against what could be possible. They were journeying there, and sometimes, you know, when you begin to give in to disappointment and despair, it blinds you from seeing what is possible. Oh, you'll get this in a second. It says that while they were journeying on their way to Emmaus, they were sitting there reflecting on all they had experienced, that they had experienced the disappointment because the one they thought was the Messiah was killed, was crucified, and buried, and they thought that their possibilities were buried with him at the same time. And they were there journeying to Emmaus, not even really thinking about anything good happening because of the disappointment they had experienced, and they didn't even recognize when Jesus showed up right next to them. They were so shrouded by their disappointment and their despair that they could not see that possibility didn't die. It was walking right with them. I'm going to say it again. They were so consumed with disappointment and despair that they could not see that possibility was journeying with them the entire time. I hope somebody can get that today. Don't let that disappointment blind you from seeing when possibility is walking right next to you. All the things they had hoped for, that they wanted, was right there, and they couldn't see it because all they could do is reinforce not only the negative experience, but now the negative narrative. I hope I'm helping somebody this morning. That all they could do is keep thinking about what didn't happen, what could have happened, what was supposed to happen, instead of seeing what was happening right in their midst. I'm going to say it one more time. All they could do was think about what didn't happen, what should have happened, what could have happened, and never pause to see what was happening. Every now and again, you got to stop right where you are in the midst of your disappointment and assess the reality around you. Because can I tell you something? Sometimes your present reality can counter your past disappointment if you let it. No, I'm going to say it again. Your current reality can counter your past disappointment if you let it. What do you mean? If you let the reality shaped by possibility become the way you see life, it can counter all the bad stuff you've experienced. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? You can't live in disappointment. It will shatter you. You can't live in despair. It will ruin your spirit. And I know there have been moments where you said, but pastor, this is all I've experienced. But pastor, I'm tired of the hurt. But let me tell you something. Don't let that stop you from seeing what is happening right around you. Every now and again, you got to be reminded that no matter how bleak it is, that you got more going for you than you got going against you. And every now and again, you got to remind yourself, no matter how bleak it is, that God is moving in the midst of your situation. And even though it might not look like the situation is shifting, if God is present in that situation, something is about to shift. And is there anybody here who's on that point right now where you're waiting for that season of shifting? Well, here it is. Just take an assessment of what's around you, and you just might realize that God has been moving the whole time. Right there, Jesus is with them, and they're still talking about what didn't happen. And Jesus is right there, and he is the part. And when Jesus asks them, what are you talking about? They say to him, well, you're the only stranger in town who doesn't know what just took place, how Jesus was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and had done all these things, but then the chief priests conspired to kill him. We had hoped, that's the line, we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. We hoped he would be the one. Here's the key. And it's already the third day. And ain't nothing happened yet. Yeah, they said that there were some people dressed in white by the tomb, but it's already the third day. And ain't nothing happened yet. Y'all gonna get this in a second. They said we had hoped he would redeem, and it's already the third day. But ain't nothing happened yet. Man, y'all see this?
We had hoped he would be the redemption of Israel. And it's the third day. And ain't nothing happened yet. Can I just drop this in your spirit? I'm going to let you go. You know what? Just because it ain't happened don't mean it's not happening. You missed that. Sometimes, can I tell you this? You can be so blinded that you don't recognize that God has already been working it out. They said it's the third day and ain't nothing happening. Yes, it did happen. Because you're so blinded from what the disappointment did, you can't recognize that God has already been moving in the midst of this. Oh, somebody here got to know that today. That you got to get to a point where you are cognizant that although the hurt is real, I trust and believe that God is moving right now in my life. And is there anybody in here this morning who can say, Pastor, I'm going to hold on to hope? In fact, look at somebody and tell them, hold on to hope, because God ain't finished yet. Hold on to hope, because God still moving. I wish I had somebody in here who could testify that these are the days and the moments where your faith has to rise to the forefront, because it's always in the bleakest of moments and the darkest of circumstance where you got to lean in and hold on even more. You got to tell yourself that I've journeyed too long with God to let go of hope right now. I've seen God do too much in my life to let go of hope right now. And is there anybody in FCBC today who can testify that I'm going to hold on to hope? Here it is. You got to learn to rejoice in the midst of the circumstances that are working against you, because whether you know it or not, things are about to shift. Here's what I learned, Alicia. The reason why I keep rejoicing in the midst of my disappointment is because my experience tells me then yes, disappointment is real, and yes, negative circumstances are real, but here's what I learned in my life, that things can shift in an instant. Oh, gosh. Sometimes, I hope you get this, a week of disappointment can be turned upside down by an hour of rejoicing. You ain't get this. That you can fight against the negativity in your life when you begin to celebrate what God is doing, because you know that God is moving. You didn't get that. I can celebrate what God is doing because I know that God is moving. How do you know God is moving? Because he ain't forsaken me yet. He ain't let me go yet. He ain't stopped moving yet. And they were sitting there. We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one. And it's the third day. And ain't nothing happened. Well, I'm going to stop now and I'm going to go on to the next service. But here, I'm going to leave you with this. As they are journeying, they get to Emmaus. They invite the stranger with them to sit and eat with them. The stranger said, let me go ahead and lead the moment. When they all got there eating, it says this. The stranger took the bread. Oh, God, I like this part. Then he blessed it and broke it. They said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, we've seen that move before. Oh, y'all didn't get that part. When he blessed it and broke it and shared it, they said, wait a minute, we've seen this before. And they all of a sudden recognize who it was. You didn't catch that. In the blessing and the breaking and the sharing came recognition of divine presence. You hear me? Oh my God. That's why, beloved, remember this. Blessing, breaking, sharing. You didn't catch it. Blessing, breaking, distribution. Okay, you didn't catch it. I said this week in Jersey. Blessing, breaking, expansion. Okay, let me put it that way. Hold on. If I know that blessing and expansion are the bookends of my reality, then the breaking won't break me. You'll get that. Because I'm going to focus on the fact that in this season, that it feels like I'm being broken, I'm actually being expanded for the greater. Is there anybody in here today who can testify that yes, it's difficult right now, and yes, it's challenging right now, but God is about to expand me in ways that I cannot imagine. And so I've learned to rejoice because of the expansion in my life. Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, everything can change in an instant. God can turn it around in an instant. So why sit there and hang your head? You ought to lift up your head and begin to give God praise, because this is my season of expansion. God is about to increase. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, this is your season of increase. 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 God is about to do it. Increase. 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 That's why, beloved, hold on. Hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Because in an instant, God can turn things around in your life. Remember this. The breaking is in the midst of the blessing and the expansion. What are you saying? Why focus on the breaking when you know expansion is on the horizon? Don't let go of that hope now, because you may be in your resurrection day and not even see it if you focus on a disappointment. No, the truth is that with all the tears I've been shedding, for every tear, I've increased in strength. For every tear, I've increased in strength. And here's the good news. What I learned in my life is that there are things before I entered I thought I couldn't handle. And then when I entered, I realized it wasn't as bad as I thought. And then when I entered, I realized that I was equipped for this moment. And then when I realized I was equipped for this moment, it helped me to reassess what I was going through. It can't break me. Don't let go of hope, beloved. Don't come to church today and leave here hanging your head down. This is Resurrection Sunday.